Yes, sir. What's your name?
Andrew William Ono, A-N-N-O-H.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ono. The Honorable Miss Rittenhouse will now conduct your hearing.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Ono.
Yes, sir.
Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
Andrew William Ono, 270-639.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this is concerning the one allegation that's listed on your warrant. I see that you signed a form on April 12th that notified you that this hearing would be held today. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of those is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today in the hearing?
It's just myself.
Okay. The members of the board conducting the hearing today are, there are three of us here today, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White, who's our board chair, and I am Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be chairing this hearing. Also in the room with us is Mr. Westby with the Department of Corrections, and he will represent the department and your hearing, or your parole officer, I'm sorry, your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So, I need to swear both of you in. So, Mr. Ono and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, ma'am.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Ono, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Ono, I'm going to read this allegation, and when I'm finished reading it, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. And
okay.
Okay? So, we'll start phase one of your hearing, and here is the one and only allegation, and that is that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about October 12th, 2017, as verbally directed on September 28, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Ono, is this true or false?
It's true, but on mine I have two allegations on mine that one of them was, the one on there was changing my address without permission.
You have two allegations on your warrant?
Yeah, because I was trying to transfer from Yavapai County to Maricopa County because my grandpa passed away, and that's all on the briefing that I have on my side of my paperwork.
Do you have a warrant number, sir? It'll be in the upper right-hand corner. Do you have it in front of you?
I do not have it in front of me, but on mine it says that what you just viewed right now, and also it says that I changed my address without permission because I was trying to change my address from Yavapai County to Maricopa County because once my grandpa passed away, it was only my grandmother there and she needed 24-hour supervision. So what that had me do is I asked Ms. Schilling that I need another 2 weeks and I told the severity of it.
Yes.
So therefore, I had to go and do what I had to do and she kept on trying to get in contact with me. My family on my side contacted her, and it was pretty much just a run-on both parts, and I ended up moving to Scottsdale, working nights from 9 to 6:30, and then from 6:30 in the morning, I would leave, go home. Pretty much from like 9 to 6:30 at night, I was taking care of my grandma Monday through Sunday. The 13th of last month, she passed away.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, sir, please first accept our condolences on behalf of the board for both your grandfather and your grandmother. We're so sorry to hear that. And I'm looking at your warrant, and the information you just relayed to me is actually here on page 2 of the warrant. It's not an allegation, a separate allegation, but the information is here.
Okay.
So I'm going to accept your statement as true that it was a failure to report for a face-to-face visit, and I'll accept that as true. And then based on that admission, I'm going to move to find Mr. Arno was delinquent, and he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal, and agreed by Dr. Wright. Okay, so Mr. Arno, we'll go to phase two of your hearing, which is the phase where we determine if you're here, if you're community supervision should be reinstated or revoked, sir. But before we move too far into that, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information about your case. So just stay on the line, and we'll be right back to talk with you some more in a minute here.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Mr. Westby.
On August 11th, 2017, Mr. Arno was released from DOC. He was arrested March 20th, 2018 by Scottsdale PD. No new charges. He was back in DOC custody March 20th, 2018, with an adjusted CCD of October 17th, 2018, which reflects 159 of stand days. Current conviction, 2015, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2015, assault, 1 year. 2015, burglary, second degree, 4 years. 2015, failure to appear first degree, 1.5 years. Prior conviction, 2012, theft, 1 year. This is his second term at DOC, CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 1. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs and alcohol noted. Other arrest. 2002, theft of means of transportation, Colorado, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2005, criminal damage, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2010, assault, Arizona, fine. 2011, endangerment, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2011, burglary, second degree, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2011, aggravated assault, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. This community risk score is a G4B5.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, so Mr. Arno, you were kind of explaining this before, but you had been released to live at Freedom Recovery Home, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. And in September, personally, I believe it was between the 9th and 12th, is when I contacted Chillings and I told her that I need to go back to my reservation. I'm from Fort McDowell, which is by Fountain Hills.
Okay.
And that's where my immediate family is from. And I was under the impression that my aunts and my uncles were going to be able to take care of my grandma. And my cousins are pretty much all stuck on heroin. And my grandma's, which would be my aunt and my uncle, live in California, and they couldn't just drop their job, so they're trying to place her in a nursing home in Fountain Hills.
Right.
So my dad asked me, is there any way you can get transferred down here? And I'm all like, yeah, I have to talk to my parole officer about it.
Right.
I brought it up to Mrs. Chillings, and she said I would have to talk to Doug Vaughn. I talked to Doug Vaughn, and then that's when I told him, like, I have to pay you right now because I'm trying to get transferred, so I don't want to have me owing you no money at all. So I went to the funeral. I asked Donna Shillings for 2 more weeks after that. She accepted it. She told me that's fine. And I told her, I'm all like, hey, I really need to get transferred. Is there any way I can get transferred while I'm down here? And she said no. And I'm all explaining her to pretty much the same length that I'm explaining to you, that my grandmother needs 24-hour care. I couldn't give her 24-hour care. I was maintaining my life
right.
So I can survive and live because I only get per cap every month.
Right.
So I was working at Jack in the Box, started there in October, became manager in a month, working nights from 9 to 6:30 in the morning. Then from 6:30, I would pretty much relax for like 3 hours to 2 hours to get rest because I was already working like 8 to 9 hours. Go to my grandma's from 9 in the morning to 6:30 at night and then doing the same thing Monday through Sunday.
Okay, so. All right, so.
I wasn't out there committing new charges. I was just trying to stay out of trouble, take care of myself and worry about my grandmother because the severity of it. And Ms. Shillings understood the severity of it when she contacted my family. And I mean, anybody else that would abscond that day when she told me to report when I couldn't report and I did not report,
right,
they would have issued my warrant. And instead, she actually waited a whole, I don't know the exact date, but I know it was another whole month before she even issued my warrant, because my warrant was issued November 30th.
Okay, yeah, it does look like she was really working with you.
Yeah, she really was, and I mean, I was doing fine on parole, I did my classes, I didn't have no dirty UAs, and like she told me on the phone, she's like, I understand the severity of what's going on in your family, and I also have a daughter too, and I did all this time, and I had a difficult time this whole time that I did that chunk of time in my life, and when I got out this time, I was way different from any person that I ever been in the past. In the past, I didn't really care about anybody but myself, but in this time, in this moment when I got out, I really needed to be there for my grandmother because she really needed me, and no one else was there to care for her.
Well, we're glad to hear that you were able to at least care for her some. Hold on one moment. Mr. Westby has something to add here. Mr. Westby.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, as I was reviewing the program notes here, and I do see that there was mention with September 28th, 2017, during an office visit with Mr. Anno and Parole Officer Schilling, states the offender reported into the office to report that he was going to go to Scottsdale this weekend to visit his ailing grandfather. And then after that, there was, he was supposed to report for a following contact, but there's no subsequent entries from Ms. Schilling stated that there was any conversation regarding a transfer, and then she was attempting to make contact October 30th, there was no reply from him. When she did finally catch up to him on November 3rd, I mean, she didn't catch up to him, but when she found out what happened was when she spoke with Doug Vaughn with Freedom Recovery Housing, where he had stated that Mr. Allen's grandfather had passed away and he needed more time before returning to the halfway house. But there's nothing in here about any communication about where he was at other than needing to spend a weekend in Scottsdale.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Otto, you were absconded for 159 days. So during that time, what were you doing? I mean, I think I have an idea, but could you explain that?
Yeah, I was working at Jack in the Box as a manager, and I still have my job available whenever I get released or whenever I'm done with this time or whatever the case may be. I'm still manager over there. I actually got to call my manager the day I got arrested at Scottsdale PD, and he said, whenever you get out, you have a job. I was making $14 an hour. I was working, like I said, from 9 at night to 6:30 in the morning, pretty much Monday through Saturday. I would get one day off, and then from 6:30 in the morning, I would go home. I would go back at it at 9 o'clock to my grandma's, all the way from Fort McDowell, which is like a 15-minute drive. Care for her from all the way from 9 in the morning to 6:30 at night, and then go back home and get ready for work Monday through Sunday. And I got arrested March 20th, and I got a letter from my people on the house, my dad, and also my mom told me that she had passed on the 13th. And I mean, there's nothing I can do about that in here, but I feel like that's really my fault, and I should have went about this a different way, but she really needed me. But I wasn't out there drinking, committing new charges, drugging, because that's not my thing. I was more severely worried about her, and through Monday through Sunday, I was working and caring for my grandma.
Okay. And Mr. Westby told us there's not a lot of notation. Did you stay in touch with your parole officer?
The last time I spoke with Donna was on the 28th, and that's when she told me to report and into Flagstaff office on the 12th. So what she said is true, but I called her on the 11th and I told her, and she was all like, hey, just come over here, this and that. We could transfer you, but the transfer was already locked in when I told her, like, hey, and this is before my grandfather passed away, like, hey, I need to move back to the Valley, because pretty much, like, the only reason I went up the outside county was because I have a daughter out there.
Oh, okay.
And that's when, because she lives on the Yavapai Apache Res.
Okay.
And that's when I told her, like, hey, I need to go so I can go help my grandparents out. And then before, pretty much like a week or two after that, that's when my grandpa got into that car accident and he passed away.
Okay. All right. Hold on a second again. Mr. Westby has something to add. Mr. Westby.
Yeah, there was one other thing I noticed upon reviewing the call notes, and this information wasn't on the warrant in the programming section, but it looks like task, there was a missed Q rain on October 24th, 2017. It says on there, per task report, Thunder failed to submit a UA on October 24th for the color of mint. And if there was a transfer, even if it wasn't, it was notated, or it wasn't notated, but there was one in effect, an offender cannot have any violations, even a missed UA, remember, for transfer.
Oh, so maybe that was...
I mean, there was a possibility that maybe the transfer wasn't notated, but it would not have been approved because of that missed UA in October 24th.
Okay, sir, thank you. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have questions for you. Anybody have a question? Okay, Mr. Otto, we're coming toward the end of your hearing. I want to give you a chance, though, to make a final statement. Is there anything else you've thought of that you haven't already told us that the board should know?
All I can really say is what I already told you guys, but I have foundation, I have stability on the island where I was living with. I have a job, I have goals in life other than staying in here and coming back to here. Other than that, what I told you guys, that's all I really have to say.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ono. The board is going to go into discussion, and while the board's in discussion, we just ask that you remain on the phone and remain silent, and we'll be back with you shortly.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Ono, it sounds like, and I believe he's sincere, was trying to do the right thing, certainly by helping his grandparents. The missed UA in October, late October, may account for the reason that his transfer wasn't approved. And as I said, I do appreciate that he seems to have been doing the right thing, avoiding drugs and et cetera. However, I cannot overlook that he absconded for 159 days, which is a long time. But I'll listen to any input from fellow board members. Maybe you picked something up I didn't. Okay, not hearing any input, I'm going to move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Ono was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 159 days, during which time his parole officer did not know his whereabouts.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Ono, and agreed by Dr. Wright. Mr. Ono, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision.
Okay.
We're currently showing a release date for you of October 17th of this year, and at that time you won't have any parole officer to worry about. You'll just have yourself to worry about. We do wish you the best, sir. You were in a very tough situation, and I heard what you said about having goals in life and wanting to carry on with those, and we do wish you the best, sir. If you would give the phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it. And your hearing is concluded, sir.